There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Buccaneer 5, Chiefs 3rd and goal. In the shotgun. Here's a 5-man rush and a quick throw and a belt-high catch by Hopkins and a touchdown at the goal line. He spun in. His second touchdown reception tonight. And the Chiefs have taken a lead.
Kevin Harlan on the call. Westwood won a game you heard on Sports Radio 610 last night. The Kansas City Chiefs continue, I won't say continue their dominance. They just keep on winning. They keep winning close games. They're really good at it. They win in overtime last night. We got a lot to get to today, man. It's a big day today. Big day. It's the biggest
day for America.
Biggest
Sean.
Day ever for our country. It is NFL yes. trade deadline day today.
Because the Texans need a guard. It's what everybody's going to be talking about. All the pundits,
yep.
All of the all the people weighing in on who's going to win, who's going to get this fatty, who's going to get that fatty.
Yeah
that's all. It's all zeroed in on the Houston Texans.
Yeah, today, it's MOAA. Make the offensive line average again. That's what today is all about. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. How you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good. I don't know if Wyatt Teller will make it through the Electoral College or not. That's the only thing that I'm.
I wish he would. That would be totally awesome if he could.
I'm still mildly football depressed. Not depressed, but football depressed. I found yesterday.
What's wrong, Seth? Tell me what's wrong.
Well, I was like, all right, am I gonna feel any better after D'Amico Ryan's press conference? And no, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, he gave a lot of the answers that are just boilerplate stuff you're going to get from a coach. Nothing necessarily objectionable about it, other than that, you know, when asked any question about the offensive line, he simply said everybody's got to play better.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the offensive line. And I understand the sentiment, and I understand sticking up for your guys. The offensive line is the most glaring issue on this team right now. Yes, right. There are other issues. If I did a list of 10 items, offensive line would be at the top.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot of Texans fans that would be angry that my list wasn't 1 through 10 offensive line.
Yeah. List them individually maybe, right?
No, even just offensive
just
line,
O-line,
offensive
O-line,
line,
O-line,
offensive
O-line.
A lot of people have no appetite for any discussion other than offensive line. And that's the problem, is that I don't know what the easy fix is right now. I think there's elements to the offensive line where they just don't operate as a unit. Especially on the interior offensive line, they don't look like a well-coached unit.
Right.
You know? Now, is that Chris Strausser's fault, or is that the individual's fault? But there's just a lot of sloppy, poor communication, poor technique, guys just kind of opening the door for an alleyway right up the middle to C.J. Stroud, and it's ugly. It's ugly. So, an offensive... I don't think... If all of a sudden... you were able to swap out for a really, really good offensive line coach, I think that might make a bigger difference than any personnel moves you might make.
A really good, finding a better coach for that position group, you're saying.
That's the only choice. I have a hard time because, look, there's a million different ways to coach O-line, so I'm always kind of hesitant because, all right, okay, this isn't what I'm used to seeing, but maybe this is just the way he coaches it. I don't know. Except yet now I can't find it's just all these basics when they can't pick up twists and everything where these offensive linemen are just turning their shoulders like they're a revolving door, completely blind to any twists or loopers or blitzers or anything else like that, that I've got no choice but to say, okay, I think they're just not coached that well.
Yeah, I have a thought on that. Let's hear from D'Amico. D'Amico, you're right. D'Amico got asked about the offensive line 10 different ways yesterday, and the answers were very vanilla. It does seem like it's being put more on the players than the coaches at this point by D'Amico. A lot of answers about execution and playing better, and our playmakers got to make plays and things like that. Here is one of several answers about fixing the pass blocking.
Our guys up front, like you said, they've done a good job of blocking. They've asked a lot of good pass reps too. I think everybody highlights the bad reps. Of course, that's where the focus goes. You know, on the bad reps, we've had really good pass rush snaps, and you know, where are we with the timing, with the progression of the routes, and all those. Are we open? You know, in the timing of the play. So all of those things matters when we do have good protection, and all of that is a factor as well.
Yeah, so he's protecting his guys. I get it. Here's the thing. Like I watched more non-Texans NFL football this weekend than I have all season long because you and I had a Sunday off. And I watched the entire game last night. It's so frustrating to watch even bad teams protect their quarterback. Like, there's no team that I watched this weekend that looked as keystone cops as the Texans have looked over the last 3 weeks. It's incredible. Yeah. Again, I'll kind of echo what D'Amico's saying right here. Like, last night in that game, yeah, sure, Tampa Bay had some bad reps in protecting Baker Mayfield, and Kansas City, good offensive line, had some bad reps protecting Patrick Mahomes. They are way less than the amount of bad reps that you have.
It's almost like saying, hey, yeah, sure, this quarterback threw 40 interceptions, but look at all the times he didn't throw an
look
interception.
Look at the completions. He had
right,
three
yeah,
of them.
With offensive line, that's always driven me crazy is when offensive linemen will say, well, yeah, I played an awesome game, but everybody wants to talk about the 2 sacks I let up. Right. That's like going to your wife and be like, honey, why don't we talk about the 28 days of the month that I didn't cheat on you?
Right.
You know, I didn't cheat on you every day last month.
Yeah.
And yet there you are fixating on the times I did cheat on you.
Yeah.
What are we even doing here? Yeah. So it feels like whenever a coach gets up, I hate it enough when offensive linemen say it, but when a coach says, hey, look, they did a lot of, there were a lot of times where they blocked it up right. But I'm concerned about the multiple times that CJ Stroud was running for his life or had to get rid of the ball quickly or the pocket collapsed completely around him. Well, I want to know about the times you cheated, damn it.
Well, and here's the thing, like, and this may be why D'Amico's getting more and more vanilla in these press conferences is because we're in a space now where we're parsing these things out. It's all we have.
Yeah.
The game was last Thursday. I don't feel like dwelling on the Jets game anymore. Sorry, D'Amico. All we have is your press conference yesterday. Is I don't think he believes a word of what he's saying. He's not a dumb person. He's a very smart person. He knows it's bad. He knows it's bad. He's protecting his guys. I'm coming to the conclusion, like, D'Amico's never going to be a guy that completely throws guys under the bus in a press conference. I will say this. He's far more interesting with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer than he is in these press conferences.
he was as uncomfortable as he's looked in that press conference.
Yeah, if you're looking for the good stuff with D'Amico, go find the YouTubes of those interviews because I think he's more forthcoming. He's still never going to throw guys under the bus, but I think he's a little more forthcoming. He's a little more playful, obviously, in those. They're just more enjoyable conversations than the press conference yesterday. It was, man, part of it. It's like watching a hostage being held in a propaganda film at times. Like, he's just got this stare going on, and he's not really emoting either way during the press conference. And these are very emotional times for Texan fans, man.
It's funny. He didn't have a moment like Matt LaFleur after the game the other day when they lost to the Lions, the team the Texans will see very shortly.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt LaFleur said he was I think he said he was getting an. I think he said it was annoying, the questions he would get about Jordan Love's interceptions. I'm like, well, all right, Matt.
Stop throwing them.
He throws one every single week, and so many of them are stupid interceptions. Like the one he had this last week. Jordan Love threw a really stupid interception.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's annoying, but it's annoying because Jordan Love keeps throwing those interceptions. This is something that if you want to look at that game, boy, the Lions don't blitz. They didn't blitz a whole lot in that game, but yeah, when they did, it was super effective, and it really rattled Jordan Love.
It did.
It created a lot of issues for him. So obviously, that's a key concern going into this game versus the Lions.
I don't know how much of the Monday night game you watched last night, but from what you've seen and heard, how do the Texans? I mean, the Texans are going to play the Chiefs in Kansas City in not too long. It'll be here before we know it. How equipped is how? I mean, the Bucks are not a great team. They took the Chiefs. This is what the Chiefs are doing all year. They're 8-0, and they play all these one score games right now.
Right, and they're doing it largely driven by their defense.
Yes,
I think the big difference last night. I know we're talking about the Chiefs. Was like, wow, DeAndre Hopkins really showed up.
Yeah,
DeAndre Hopkins 2 touchdowns, 87 yards.
Yeah,
they had a vintage DeAndre Hopkins catch, kind of squeezed in between defenders. Also had a super easy touchdown catch. Like he's going to be a boon for that as they continue to work in with him. He's only played 2 games with
Correct.
The Chiefs right
yeah.
now, right?
Yep. Yep.
So as far as the Chiefs defense goes, though, I thought it was notable that look. That's the Chiefs defense going against a Bucs offense that doesn't have Chris Godwin or Mike Evans.
Right.
And wow, the Bucs were able to move the ball. The Bucs were able to get it going. It's not an excuse that you just don't have your two top guys. Baker Mayfield's out there doing it without his two top guys.
Yep.
So so it's not like I feel like it's impossible, especially when they get Nico Collins back.
Right.
It's just that Chiefs team is. I'm trying to figure out what would we be saying about the Chiefs right now if they hadn't won the 2 previous Super Bowls. Like try to take that out of
it.
And you're watching Travis Kelce's just not himself. He fumbles in that game, gets stripped in that game.
Okay.
The offense, but the Chiefs' offense is grinding clock. Like they're doing it in very decidedly not Andy Reid type of ways.
Yeah.
They're able to run the ball. They use their screens masterfully. I think I would look at them and say, okay, they've won a bunch of one score games, but it's built on substance.
Yeah, they're
I don't know if I knew nothing about the Chiefs until going into this season, I'd say, okay, this is a plucky team with a quarterback who's really talented, but they just can't seem to figure it out on offense.
It's weird, you know, like I think they're very patriot-like from the heyday Patriots. You know what I mean? Just like they are A-plus game managers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're figuring out what they need to do to win each specific
every
game.
Every time. Each specific game. Like, this is what we do best against this team. That kind of thing.
I think all the stat heads, if they knew nothing about the Chiefs until this season, all the stat heads would be saying, wow, regression to the mean.
Yep.
They don't, you know, one score games tend to, the pendulum tends to swing back, but nobody's buying that.
No,
I don't think there's many stat heads out there pushing that narrative.
That's
right
exactly
now.
What it is, Seth. You're right. Hey, if they had not won the previous 2 Super Bowls, because even in the big picture, I think everybody's looking at this Chiefs thing going, yeah, there ain't no, yeah, but. I mean, we're doing it right now. But you know, like even if they go on to, even if there is some regression to the mean and they go on to lose 5 games, they're the favorite going into the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like it's just who they are. They'll flip the switch.
It's the exact same way the Astros get treated when they go to the playoffs.
They are the Astros of football. Yes.
Yeah, that playoff experience really, really matters.
Yep.
You know, and I think probably more so in baseball. But it, like obviously with the Chiefs, they've figured it out. Last year, they didn't look all that great during the regular season. Then lo and behold, they're a different team in the postseason.
They win the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, we're off and running. Yeah, Kelce last night had 14 catches for 100 yards. That's it. 14 catches for 100 yards. Like, that's what the Patriots would have done back in the day. They'd be dinking for 6 yards a catch to their tight end walking down the field.
Yeah.
That's what they'd be doing because it's there. All right, I had 4 questions for the Texans heading into this Lions game yesterday. Did we get satisfactory answers on any of these yesterday? Where are we with the Texans right now? It is Lions week. It is Sunday Night Football week. We'll get to that coming up next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. So I had four questions yesterday coming into the week for the Houston Texans. Injury related, on field related, holding D'Amico to answers that he's had in previous press conferences related. So we'll see how we did yesterday. What did we find out? The first one, Seth, was D'Amico Ryans in the post-game press conference after Thursday. One of the things he said is we've got to, you know, changes need, you know, he used the word change. You know, the change, yeah. You know, we need to change. Change need to be made. Is there any change coming? And this was asked, D'Amico Ryans was asked right up front yesterday at his press conference, will there be changes on the offensive line?
We'll look at that as we continue to go throughout the week. That is right now. Again, everybody has to play better.
All right, everybody has to play better was the crutch yesterday. That was we got that a lot.
My hopey changey meter is low.
Yeah.
The hopey changey thing is not working out for me
hopey
right now, okay?
Changey
meter. If I were going to make it political, I would pull out the old Sarah Palin. How's this hopey changey thing working out for us? Not so hot.
No,
I can't go into this Lions game hoping for change. I don't. My hope is all gone. It's expired.
Well, there were a lot of people that were looking for a pound of flesh off of that Jets game. You know what I mean? Like, we got to fire somebody. Like, somebody's got to get fired. Somebody's got to get demoted.
What are you gonna do? You're gonna what are we gonna? Yeah, what? Are,
that
fire
ain't
you?
Happening.
Can I fire you? Can I fire this guy? Hey, Nick. That's what I want. I want D'Amico and Nick to walk through the locker room afterwards, Nick with his calculator, and walking past each offensive lineman, I want D'Amico to say, like, okay, so what's the cap situation with him? Can I cut him?
No, I can't.
Okay, what about him? Can I trade him away? No? It's not prohibitive? Dang it. Okay, what about this guy?
All right. My God, it's like a scene out of The Office. Dwight walking around the calculator next to Michael.
Yeah.
Can we fire this guy?
Go ahead.
Well, we know there will be at least one change because Kenyon Green won't be back.
Right, because the Texans had that decision forced upon them. They would have left Kenyon Green in there for the entire game to let Quinnen Williams do what he wanted with C.J. Stroud. Just use C.J. Stroud as his plaything.
Yeah.
As far as I know, if Kenyon Green hadn't got injured, ironically enough, by C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud took out Kenyon Green's shoulder. Which I'm sure he'll claim was unintentional.
Yeah, with his butt. He took out his shoulder with his butt.
There's a little
sat
part
on his shoulder.
CJ that was kind of like, I could throw the hip into it. You son of a...
Here's one way to stop the leakage at left guard. Here was D'Amico Ryans one more time. Everybody's got to play better.
When I talk about everybody playing better, it's everybody. It's the quarterbacks, the tight ends, it's the receivers, our entire offense, right? Our entire defense, our special teams unit. That's where I'm at. Like, and we can hone in on different spots and all those. It doesn't matter. Each position, no matter what it is, from top to the bottom, we all play better, we'll be in position to win games.
Well, that's true. It is true if they all play better, but we really do want to hone in on that one spot because that's really bad. The offensive line, that is really bad. So I guess I don't know what the change ultimately is going to be, but D'Amico Ryans was asked with Kenyon Green out, who is Jarrett Patterson? Is it Kendrick Green? Is somebody who's not on the roster right now?
Yeah, we'll see who steps up at the offensive line position. We'll see who steps up, see how we go out there and get the job done.
Okay, so big injury report this week. We'll get to a couple reasons why it's a big injury report, but Jarrett Patterson, I've almost forgot to put in the injury. You know, we've got you got two such good players in Nico and Will that are out that you forget. Oh, Jarrett Patterson, if he can play, could be somewhat important to this whole
thing. He wasn't even asked about Jarrett Patterson yesterday. And I think part of that was probably because after, you could tell it was a Monday press conference when they asked about Nico and they asked about Will Anderson. It was a day-to-day thing. So we'll find out Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, the best possible news would be, hey, Nico and Will are both out there practicing on Wednesday. Good to go. I'm curious just exactly, even if Nico is 100% good to go, I wonder if he'll be practicing on Wednesday. But the Jarrett Patterson's going to be interesting because, all right, we've seen Jarrett Patterson, we've seen Kendrick Green. I liked what I saw out of Jarrett Patterson, but it was for one drive. We've seen him at center before, but we saw him for one drive this year at left guard. And I liked what I saw. I think there's a lot of potential there. Kendrick Green had some good snaps. He showed a scrappiness that I don't think we've seen out of any of the offensive line other than Kendrick Green. Jarrett Patterson hasn't really had a chance to. But he also had some really bad reps. Neither of those guys, when they played left guard, had taken a full week of practice as the starting left guard.
That's right.
So I'm curious how they're going to make the decision and if Jarrett Patterson can play. Is it going to be like a competition in practice, or are they just going to go with one guy and see how it goes? I don't know. I think the upside is a lot higher, theoretically, with Jarrett Patterson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just more the prototype size, build, all of that of a guard.
Kendrick Green's got some weird physical things for a guy you're looking to play at a high level.
You know, Kendrick Green's
deformities. He's got like short arms. You know,
he's undersized even for a center.
Yeah,
And where you can get away with being undersized more easily than as a guard. So it's just hard to envision him really being a good guard. But I don't want to be there's lots of guys that don't fit the mold that end up being really good.
Yeah, I mean,
or at least end up being, let's say, passable. I just want somebody who's passable.
Well, if the rest of the offensive line is going to play the way they've been playing, then the bar can't be better than Kenyon Green at left guard. Like these other guys, D'Amico's right. Like everybody needs to step up, but like for me, everybody is along the offensive line. Like going back and watching some of these snaps in the Jets game, like watching some of the Shaq Mason snaps. My God, like
the whole thing about Shaq and Titus is that they just don't look good.
Yeah,
moving
exactly.
They get out in space, or they're like Titus on some of the run plays. He just can't get to where he's got to go.
Yeah,
and it's not a fun look. It's like every step. It looks like in the movie versions of offensive linemen. You know, when like you're watching football movies and you're like, all right, come on, seriously. I don't know if the public at large feels this way, but as a former NFL lineman, I was always deeply offended by the caliber of athlete they put in movies.
Yeah.
Just some flat-butted, skinny dude, stick legs with a big old pot belly.
Yep.
And that's the guy. That's what they look like at times on the right side of the offensive line.
It looks like the movie The Replacements, starring Gene Hackman and Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
The worst
like where
cast
the casting director,
team.
All they wanted was somebody that weighed over 300 pounds. That's all. That was the qualifier for whether you could be an offensive lineman.
As long as they can crack a one-liner, you know?
Like, exactly.
I need a funny guy. It's less important that he look like an actual football player.
Here's Shaq, this is what we want you to do the next time you get interviewed. Speak with an Australian accent. We think that might give you enough. That might give you enough personality to overcome some of the bad play. Okay.
Yep. All right. So that was number one. Will there be change on the O line? There will be, because we know Kenyon Green's not going to play. Number two, any activity on the trade front? Here was D'Amico Ryan's answer yesterday about the trade deadline coming up.
Yeah, my opinion is always the same on that. I mean, we're with Nick and his staff. We're always looking to make our team as good as we could possibly be. Right. Do we have a heightened sense of just making a move just to make? No, we're always looking to add to our team, add to our depth. That's something we do constantly throughout the year. So there isn't just a mad rush now at the trade deadline for us to change our approach and how we go about managing our roster. Our roster management doesn't change. Right? We're always looking to upgrade.
And Jonathan Alexander had a piece in the Chronicle yesterday saying that don't expect any deals today before the trade deadline.
Yeah, what the hell, Jonathan?
Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Took all the wind out of my sails. Yeah, they worked out a bunch of offensive linemen.
Including Lael Collins. How about that? That's a name. They worked out Lael Collins yesterday. I would love to. They should stream those on the web just so we can see what kind of shape all these guys are in. You know what I mean? Let us be the judge. Let us vote.
Yeah,
on election day, let us vote on who your backup practice squad left guard is going
to
be.
Which of these guys needs an Australian accent to juice him up a little bit?
Lael Collins.
You're like, oh, mate, watch out, mate. If I hear CJ Stroud about to get plastered by a defensive lineman, but I hear, look out, mate. Wait. He's going to put you on a barbie, yes?
Boy.
Oh, man.
So, the Nick Caserio, in his three previous seasons as GM for the Texans, has traded at the deadline only once when they dealt Mark Ingram to the Saints in 2021.
Yeah, I don't even think that one was even at the trade deadline either. I think they traded him in like October. Yeah, I'm looking at it. October 29th. I guess that might have been the deadline back then.
Well, that's where, and remember, that was when we got a Brandon Cooks hissy fit over that one, too.
Remember
Brandon Cooks was all hissy about that, and then he found out that Mark Ingram had desperately wanted to get out?
Yeah.
I get it.
I did. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Wait a second. Maybe that's an avenue for me in the future.
So you're saying Brandon Cooks threw a hissy fit, eh? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was it that hissy fit or the other? Oh, yeah, that hissy fit. Okay, yeah.
His resting Brandon Cooks face was even more resting Brandon Cooks face on that one. Caserio, I think the way some people have phrased it, and I agree with this, is what I said at the time. When people were kind of raising an eyebrow about trading a second rounder for Stephon Diggs for what ended up becoming just a one-year deal, what I had said was, hey, people don't bat an eye when this happens at the trade deadline. In the offseason, people look at it like it was too high a price, but veteran receivers with 1 year left on their contract, with even just half a season remaining on their contract, get traded for a second-round pick all the time. That right there, Stephon Diggs was your trade deadline trade.
They just
happened to do it half a year early.
Pretend Diggs was never on the Texans. Pretend he's healthy in Buffalo right now, and he's having the season he was having with the Texans. If they traded a second for the Minnesota second that they had for Stephon Diggs right now, people would be going nuts in a good way.
They're all in.
They're all in. Yeah.
Which is a reminder that, this is a team that is all in. They acted like a team that was all in the offseason on making a push for the Super
they
Bowl.
They did.
Right now, they don't look like a Super Bowl caliber
They
team.
Did, and it's weird because Nick is active in almost every other market that you go get guys. Like, he'll pick guys up off the waiver wire, like that.
I'm guessing that why he's not active at the trade deadline, just my guess, would be just that's when the market gets real irrational. Like, that's when people start operating on desperation more so. But as a seller, that should make him more maybe eager to sell at times.
If he were to decide to sell,
it's a seller's market at the trade deadline.
And yet, the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins for a conditional fifth round pick.
Well for them yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. It's just weird. Like it's a very fickle market. The last two questions I had, this will be quick, I promise you. What's the status of Nico Collins?
Yeah, we'll continue to evaluate Nico throughout the week, see where he is.
How about Will Anderson Jr.?
Yeah, we're still evaluating Will, see how he progresses throughout the week.
Okay.
So right now, we have no idea. I hope they're both out there on Wednesday. And right now you're going to do the gamesmanship thing and be very careful and, withhold information.
Yeah.
I think that the Texans, to a lot of people's surprise, are only 3-point underdogs in this game.
It was up to 5 on Sunday night. It's 3 now?
That's what it was, I thought, maybe unless I was checking the wrong one.
It's okay. Yeah. It'll float.
I wondered how much... If both Will Anderson and Nico Collins are healthy, I would expect it to be around a 3-point underdog.
It's three
situation.
Right now. You're right.
It's three.
Yeah. It opened at 5 on Sunday night. And so it's three right now. Yeah, Will.
I'm going to trust. Hey, after me lambasting Vegas for making the Jets favorites, and then obviously me being completely wrong about that, then I'm going to go ahead and trust Vegas. Once we were enemies, but now we are friends.
Yeah.
This should be a closer game than maybe it feels in your gut right now.
Well, this is where narratives has a negative connotation to it. This is where some of the trends with the Texans will be put to the test. They've been an awesome home team under DeMeco Ryans. They've been really, really good at home. They're undefeated at home this year. They have been really, really good coming off of losses under DeMeco Ryans. They've not lost a game following a loss since week 2 of DeMeco's first season. So this,
point,
I mean,
Sean.
This is, well, I'm like the line, like, this is the ultimate test for these. This is the best team in football coming in on Sunday.
This
night.
Is the two things that we know is that, hey, the Texans pass rush can be a strength for this team. Yeah. And the pass rush is that much better. Even though there's going to be a lot of Lions fans, I tried to route a flight through Detroit for this week. Not going to happen. There's a lot of people coming to Houston.
They travel,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, this version
of the Lions, I would too. Yeah.
So, but there will be a lot of crowd noise there. That benefits the pass rush, but it also helps out the offensive line. They don't have these issues. Maybe C.J. Stroud can actually use a hard count at home some to help himself out a little bit. Yeah. It's kind of eerie when you look at the Texans this year at home so far.
Yeah.
Okay, Bears... The Texans allowed 13 points. Jags, 20 points.
Yeah.
Bills, 20 points.
Yep.
Colts, 20 points.
Wow. That's cool. None
of those teams, especially the Bills without Khalil Shakir and without Amari Cooper none of those teams are quite the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions have thrown more touchdowns and incompletions in the last several weeks.
Yeah.
It's been an impressive affair.
Yeah.
Jared Goff is looking like the best version of somebody who's not even Jared Goff. So holding those three teams to 20 points doesn't make me feel like, oh yeah, this is the new house of pain.
Yeah,
this is a defensive force not to be trifled with when you come into NRG. I don't quite feel that way.
That's fair. Hey, I know we got to get to break.
We'll never go to break.
No,
we're doing a 4-hour podcast today. Damn it!
Yeah, no, we're not. You mentioned. CJ trying to do a hard count. Aren't you a little nervous that if he tried to do a hard count, like three of his offensive linemen would jump off sides?
I worried that CJ would get injured by a football to his head or something. Yeah. Or Drew Scruggs would be the one that jumps out. False starts. Worse than the center false start that's not even a false start. He just snaps it before everybody else. So it's not even a false start. It's just a completely wasted play.
I was watching some team do a hard count this week. I'm like, Laramie would definitely jump off sides on his own team's hard count for sure. Mm-hmm. All right.
I was thinking about hard counts this weekend. A lot of times people, they get frustrated because when a defensive tackle jumps off sides, you're like, you're the closest to the ball. It never occurred to me to answer it this way. Yeah, you're also the closest to the quarterback's voice.
Yeah, who's
and
yelling.
And it's really, the guys who are good at it, it's really, really loud. And a lot of times you're not looking at the ball, you're looking at the guy across from you.
That's right.
And the quarterbacks who are good at it, it's so loud that it short circuits your prefrontal cortex. Anything that's telling you don't go, don't go, don't go.
Go.
It's like when you go, it's like when you're watching a scary movie and you're like, all right, I'm not going to jump. I know a jump scare is coming. I know whatever. And then all of a sudden you're screaming like a child next to your wife.
Yep.
And she doesn't respect you anymore.
All right. Up next.
It's happened to me many times in my life.
Up next, headlines. There's some headlines around the NFL. One that impacts not this weekend for the Texans, huge impact on the following weekend. We will get to that and a whole lot more. Rockets win last night. We'll tell you about that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
And for our team right now, we all have to play better. Every position, we all have to play better. It's not one position. Everybody has to play better. For us to win games, going forward, is everybody playing better.
All right, that was DeMeco Ryans yesterday, and that was the theme, at least for the first four or five questions of the press conference, is the determination after going back to the laboratory over the weekend, having a long weekend to look at it, the determination is everybody's got to play better.
Concur. You know what? You know what? In the spirit of election season,
yeah,
I do think there is something where, for the most part, the masses, not our listeners, but the masses, we always claim we want to hear policy and I want to hear exactly how you're going to fix healthcare and everything. For the most part, we just want our candidates to say, this is the plan, this is how we're going to do it, boom, keep it simple. And people will say they want details, they don't. That's where I feel like we as a fan base, we would have been placated. Not that that's what D'Amico's goal needs to be, is no. to placate us or anything. But yeah, it is placated by, like, if he had come in and said, look, we figured some things out. We're going to make a personnel change that should make it a big difference. And strategically, we've realized a couple of the things we're doing wrong that are pretty easy fixes. So we feel good about this week going into this Lions game. Like, it's something along those lines. And people would have thought, okay, yeah, D'Amico's.
Dude.
He's knocking off heads and taking names.
Oh yeah, you know me. I'm easily sold to Seth. That would have that answer would have totally satisfied me.
Yeah, the whole, like, if you're a candidate that gets up and says, "Hey, we're just gonna fix everything," and you say, "Cool, how are you gonna do it? We're gonna fix everything.
Yeah,
that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna fix everything."
I feel like D'Amico's got the type of personality where I would totally believe
him. Actually, it depends on how eager you are to believe it. Yeah, that's the whole.
Right now, I want to believe anything.
Everybody listening right now thinks that I'm talking about either their specific candidate or the opponent, and I'm not at all. I am 100% speaking in generality.
Neutrally.
Assume that I'm talking about the people that you hate, okay?
There you go.
That's what I'm doing. I am on your side, and I am talking about the politician that you hate.
There you
go.
Yes. All right, other news items for the Texans. We mentioned in the previous segment they worked out a bunch of offensive linemen yesterday, including former Cowboy Lael Collins. We'll see if anything comes out of that. The injury report will be big this week with Nico Collins and Will Anderson both being, hey, we're going to monitor it, status. Jerry Hughes and Jeff Okuda both designated to return from injured reserve yesterday.
Yeah.
And Okuda in particular, yeah. That's good news.
Okuda, because we want guys who can play man coverage, okay? Yeah. And I think Okuda is better on the outside than he is in the slot. So right now, we saw it in the game. When you line up Jalen Petrie against a guy like Davante Adams, mm-hmm. and really, on that play, on the Garrett Wilson, or the Davante Adams touchdown from last week, Kalen Bullock was shaded over to one side of the field towards, with eyes on Garrett Wilson. So basically you got Jalen Petrie with no safety help.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if Kalen Bullock could have done a better job of getting over there. Who knows? But he's basically got no safety help over the top. That's not who Jalen Petrie is.
That's right.
That's a job for a cornerback. And we wondered about it in training camp. What are they going to do when they have to line Jalen Petrie up against guys in the slot, man coverage like Davante Adams? And you saw what we got from that. So being able to maybe move Kamari Lassiter into the slot, or just, giving you more flexibility to have Derek Stingley track the best receiver all over the field.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get more versatility with Jeff Okuda back.
Yeah, that's a big return. Jerry Hughes and Jeff Okuda designated to return from IR. They should be practicing this week. Monday Night Football last night, the Chiefs beat the Bucs in overtime, 30-24. DeAndre Hopkins with a couple of touchdowns for the Chiefs. The big news that impacts the Texans here in the near future, Dak Prescott, the hamstring injury that he suffered in the Cowboys' loss to the Falcons this weekend, actually turns out to be fairly serious, at least at first blush. The reports yesterday, Seth, Dak Prescott is going to be out several weeks with this hamstring injury. The Texans play the Cowboys in 2 weeks. Last I checked, two is a number that falls within the realm of several.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Texans are going to get Cooper Rush, a banged up CeeDee Lamb, because CeeDee Lamb's got an AC joint sprain that's considered playable, but I would imagine it still hurts.
Yeah.
And Micah Parsons, this is the bad news for anybody playing the Cowboys. Looks like Micah Parsons is coming back this weekend for their game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Cowboys getting healthy on the defensive side, but the big one is Dak Prescott out for several weeks, and let's face it, by the time he's ready to return, the Cowboys are already at a 3% chance of making the playoffs. Like, season's going to be over by the time he's back, probably.
Cooper Rush in his most in the year in which he got the most play time was 2022 with the Cowboys, where he did go 4-1.
Okay.
So
as backup quarterbacks go, he's in the upper half of backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, Cooper, I mean, it's not just some Joe Schmo schmuck, you know, practice squad call up or something.
It ain't Skylar Thompson coming in for Tua with the Dolphins.
Yeah,
put it that way.
I don't think, man. After you drop a game to the Jets where you don't even show, like, this is the most frustrating thing. Just going back and looking at some specific spots from the game this last week versus the Jets, a 2-win football team, was that, man, the first quarter, you had so many opportunities to be the team that just simply wasn't playing like buffoons.
Yep.
But both teams played like buffoons in the first quarter. You had a chance to do some serious damage there in the first quarter, but you matched the Jets' buffoonery.
Yep.
The Jets gifted you a 7-point swing by dropping the football right before Malachi Corley went into the end zone. But you matched the effort. There were turnovers, punts, 3-and-outs, all of that. The first quarter of football in that game was atrocious. So, there's no part of me that thinks like, oh, yeah, boy, that one's in the bag now that you got to face Cooper Rush instead of Dak Prescott.
That's fair. That is fair. Dennis Allen fired in New Orleans yesterday. That happened just after we went off the air yesterday morning. So the Saints are looking for a new coach. Rockets beat the Knicks last night. It's a good win for the Rockets last night.
Yeah.
109-97. And that was a game the Rockets kind of led wire to wire. At various times, the Knicks were able to cut into the lead, get it down to a possession. And the Rockets kept answering over and over again. And they finished the game by scoring the last 9 points to close things out. And Alperen Şengün looked great last night. That was a good, nice reset win for a young Rockets team last
year. Yeah, no, and Şengün, I know there's been frustration over, not using him more, and yet Udoka basically said he wasn't in shape.
Yeah.
Which didn't make me feel awesome. Maybe give it a little bit of vibes of Forrest Whitley. Remember when Forrest Whitley showed up not in shape for the COVID season?
Yeah.
Let's just be sure this isn't a trend. We did just pay you a boatload of money.
185 mil, yeah.
We expected you to show up in shape, man.
He was good last night, man. 25 points, I think, in the end. And Jalen Green and Amen Thompson really good down the stretch in that game. That was nice. Spurs on tap for tomorrow, and they will not have Greg Popovich. He's dealing with a medical issue right now.
How old is Greg Popovich?
He's in his 70s. I know that. He's looks every bit his age. These last few years of not winning championships have not been kind to him.
It's been he's 75.
Yeah.
I don't know. Talking to NBA coaches, the biggest thing that wears on you is just as you get older is the travel.
Yes.
It's a lot of travel. I'm 49 years old and I get worn out by travel. No, I'm not taking a chartered jet everywhere.
It's a lot of middle of the night travel, though. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of middle of the night, get in at 4 a.m. Or 5 a.m.
That's tough.
And then have to be up a few hours later. Yeah, that gets tough.
That's tough. Hey, last quick headline here. The Astros have 4 finalists for, excuse me, for Silver Slugger Awards: Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Alex Bregman, Yiner Diaz. All finalists for the award for the best hitter at their position. And Alex Bregman, officially a free agent. So he's flirting with others right now as we speak. Oh, and Jose Urquidy, DFA'd yesterday. World Series hero Jose Urquidy. So a lot of Astros news as well. Man, that's a news-heavy day. A lot of headlines. All right, Ross Tucker. He will join us next. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. I'm sure he got to watch Thursday Night Football. Hey, Rossi, what do you think of our offensive line here, huh? Not bad, huh?
Yeah, Ross.
Yeah. We'll talk to Ross about that and a whole lot more. That is coming up next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.